Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
All right. So we got this Lions thing set up. Be listening to what Brad Holmes had to say. And look, a lot of people don't like it. I can see the feedback coming in. From an unnamed texter, Brad Holmes, in my opinion, doubled down on his arrogance when it came to the D-line. He isn't going to change anything when it comes to pass rushers. He appears to think it's good enough. That attitude really ticks me off.
Well, if they bring back Al-Khadid Muhammad and then you add Hassanine, who didn't play this year because of injury, and if they think they have something with him, and then they draft another one, would that be doing something? I mean... Al-Khadid Muhammad did have 11 and a half sacks.
On the list of Detroit Lions problems, where does edge rusher rank right now?
I don't think it's high at all. I think you can make an argument for defensive tackle because we didn't get as much out of Ali McNeil that I thought that they should have, or that they didn't get enough out of DJ Reader. Tyleek Williams had an okay rookie season, but I think it takes some time for those guys to really have their presence felt, but I would expect him to improve at the very least. I think Ali McNeil's going to bounce back too, but the Reader experience wasn't great for this team.
So, you know, I don't know what this person, whoever this is, that's ticked off, what their measurement of a successful pass rush is. Because it's not just quarterback sacks. If it were, the Lions were top five in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't feel like it's a screaming need that needs to get addressed relative to other things. If it's quarterback pressures are an important thing too, because you get quarterbacks off platform, make them throw on the run, you make them make decisions quicker. They were top 10 in the NFL in QB pressure rate. Okay, so pressure rate is probably a truer measurement of how successful your pass rush is. It's basically how many times a quarterback drops back and how many times you pressure them. Because some teams are going to throw the ball a whole bunch more, so you're going to get more quarterback pressures because you're pass rushing a lot more. But if a team's running out the clock and handing it off over and over, you don't get a QB pressure on a run. So pressure rate is probably, they're top 10. Now again, could it be better? Yes. Could it be better? Of course. But on the list of needs after this season we just had, bro, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I don't think it's a pressing need. I think that they have to figure out what to do if Al-Khadid Muhammad is going to move on, then they'll have a problem.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Then it'd be definitely, I don't know if they have a problem.
Well,
something needs to get addressed.
Yeah,
you just
lost 11 and a half sacks if you don't re-sign him. So, and they'll have to find that. But I think that the thing is that we love the bright, shiny thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see that an edge rusher like Myles Garrett gets a new deal, or that, and of course the Lions gave a huge deal to Aiden Hutchinson, but that Micah Parsons gets traded before the first game of the year. And like, whoa, should the Lions have gotten, what could they have done that? When Quinton Williams gets traded, whoa, he's not an edge rusher, but he's a pass rushing defensive tackle. Should the Lions have gotten involved there? when you see that, you know, guys like Max Crosby may not be happy in their current situation, or Trey Hendrickson becomes a free agent here, and you know, should they get involved with that? Because those are bright, shiny names.
They are bright, shiny.
That we heard of. When the reality is, if the Lions bring back Al-Khadim Muhammad, they really don't have a need, a pressing need, for another edge rusher. What they have is perhaps a more pressing need, a defensive tackle, because Levi Onwuzurike didn't work out, because DJ Reader didn't work out, because other guys might be moving on, and you're going to have to replenish that, because Josh Pascal hasn't really seen the field too much, and you know, Mekhi Wingo wasn't anything to write home about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would agree with you. I'd rather go D-tech. I mean, when we did our first mock draft this week, the guy I wanted was the D-tackle, the Washington kid from Oregon, defensive tackle. And so, you know, but this goes back to something I say all the time. However you want to build the football team, you have your list of priorities. All of us are different, right? This guy values another high-profile edge rusher, and he thinks that's a requirement to go win it all. And I suppose if Houston runs through the playoffs and wins it all, that will be his template, because they got two pretty damn good edge rushers. But at the end of the day, I think the results speak for themselves. Obviously not to whoever sent that text and is ticked off. So
excuse me. Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
Is that a burp?
No, it was a cough and like, oh, as always, ready to say something. But again, I think this offseason is really interesting with Al-Khadim Muhammad, because if he leaves because he wants to get valued somewhere else, and somebody's going to, you know, pay him $15 million a year, and the Lions say, well, we're not going to give you 15 or whatever the number is, if they're going to pass on him, then it does create a real problem with the edge rush. Yes, you have Aiden Hutchinson, and he's great. You need more than just that. You have to have some kind of balance, and I wouldn't expect it to be the balance that it got unexpectedly from Muhammad. But they have to get something out of it. Maybe it just ends up being, yeah, well, they draft, one of the Uiagalelei in the second round, and there they go. There's your edge rusher.
248-539-9797. Nathan and Warren, you're on 97.1. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up? Nathan.
Hey, man. Sorry, I had you on mute. My biggest problem with general managers, and Brad Holmes started to do this, is, we wanted to make a trade, but there were good players out there, but the other teams didn't want to trade with us, or, you know, they weren't able to be traded. Like, that's what the money's for, to steal a bit from the afternoon show. That's what you get paid to do. If you're not, it's not that they don't want to be trade them. It's that you didn't have the skills or the panache to come up with, you know, a deal good enough to make them say, yeah, let's make this happen. So that to me is a cop out. I don't like that. And if you can give me a way where Brad Holmes has succeeded in the last 2 years, I'd love to hear it, because it hasn't been drafting. It hasn't been free agency. It hasn't been a trade deadline. So what exactly is it he has done to warrant continuing, you know, to be in his position?
Well, wait, would you fire him?
I mean, I don't know that I would fire him, but I don't know that I wouldn't fire him at this point, just because
if he got fired, he'd be snatched. He'd be the John Harbaugh of GMs. He would have people calling that have GMs in place. He built what did he do last year? He was responsible for a team that went 15-2. He built that team.
Well, right. What did he do to improve that team to get them over the top?
Well, that's a whole different thing. He did not have, well, no, hold on. To be clear, he did not have a great offseason. What he did is he tried some things that didn't necessarily work, which is why, you know, they took a step back, and it's why he had that conciliatory tone yesterday. Yeah,
but you can't wipe clean everything that he had done since coming on as GM of this franchise. And you don't seem to think that he's done enough, which I think is kind of crazy. The first thing he's got to do is presented with, oh, by the way, your franchise quarterback wants out of town, and he's got to find a trade.
Stop right there, Scott. Stop right there. When you say you think it's crazy that I say he hasn't done enough, what proof do you have that he has done enough, since that's crazy for me to say that?
Well, he's done more than any GM in my lifetime, and I think he has earned the right to get another kick at the can here.
He completely rebuilt this. Completely rebuilt this team.
It goes back to the whole. If you're taking a four home every night from the bar, and you happen to get a five, you're just going to call it a success.
Well, if we're going to do that, Nathan, are you going to marry J-Lo? Are you going to marry Kendall Jenner? Because if they don't say yes to you, is that because you don't have, what did you use, the panache? get him to say yes? Is that what it is?
I don't understand. I guess that.
Well, it takes two to tango. Like you say, he doesn't have the panache to make a trade. And I'm saying, okay, let's put this, if you can't get the person that Hollywood superstar to marry you, is it because you don't have the panache, or is it because they said no? Because no matter what you offered, they said no. Because they didn't want to trade, or they didn't want to marry you. Like, if you're going to say, if you're taking home a four every night, is that okay to take a five home?
I mean, I think it's quite possible.
It feels like it's really unfair.
Players that they wanted, that the asking price was too high, and they walked away from it. Now, is that not having the skills to get it done, or is that just trying to be responsible to what you have with the franchise? Some teams are willing to do that, and I'll grant that. Some GMs are willing to say, you know what? F it, throw caution in the wind, and there's the F them picks attitude, right? And he has yet to show that. But if you're going to gloss over him rebuilding this franchise completely from the ground up, and he got started off on a great first step was to trade Matthew Stafford because Stafford wanted out. And the haul they got in return basically built the foundation for this team, and then did that again and again with a couple of really good draft picks in the first three drafts that he had. I mean, I think that's a lot. Now, I'll agree with him that I feel like lately it
hasn't been as good.
To this team, but I think they're also counting on guys to come back and be available to you that ended up not being available because of injuries.
Jeff is next on a sell. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, for the go get somebody crowd, this is very complicated, very difficult business. I would compare it to if you've ever played fantasy football and you tried to get a named player from somebody. They don't want to trade or they want astronomical returns for the player. Now, every once in a while, you can catch a team in a contract bind or a situation where they know they're going to lose the player and they want to get something. Those things do happen. I think my biggest complaint in the situation would be not necessarily being able to hit on the big name or the sensational trade, but the recognition of kind of quality second-tier players that could benefit the team that you could get, and you might be able to get them for a bargain. So it's the player evaluation at the second level, even just beyond depth. A player that you can recognize on another team that they would be willing to trade, that you see potential that they're not utilizing or they're not getting. That to me, is where GMs excel. I mean, everybody knows the good players, but they're hard to get.
Where he's done really well with that historically is in the draft, is finding guys later in the draft that can help, but plucking guys off other people's roster that are really helping them is a skill set that I'll give you an example of a player that helped them, that they plucked off, that other teams had a crack at, Brad Holmes identified and went and got, was El-Qadim Muhammad. El-Qadim Muhammad was a journeyman edge rusher who came in here and had 11 and a half sacks.
Right.
Yeah, and that's right. A good example of finding that player that was cast off somewhere else that could help you win.
Right, yeah. When I was growing up back in the day, the Raiders made a living off of this, right? They went and got washed-up players and players that other people didn't want. I don't call it money ball if you want, but that's where I think the Lions can really improve. That's where I think... that people need to, I mean, if we can go get a great player and get him in a bargain and not have to, give up other players, that's the other thing people forget is that when you go out and sign a big name, you might not be able to sign somebody else when their contract comes up.
Well, that's part of it, yeah. Too. Thanks, Jeff. 248-539-9797. Just out of curiosity, because I was thinking about this during the commercial break, and panache caller said, what has he done the last 2 years to help the team? And probably the biggest example is, if you go into last offseason, the biggest concern was the edge rusher opposite of Hutch, and they rolled with El-Qadim Muhammad, who had 10 sacks in his 7 years prior to coming to Detroit and had an 11-sack season this year. But that's an example of something he did. Are we ready to bury this past draft class? Or does this draft class actually have some promise?
Well, I mean, you got a starting right guard that did well in one aspect of the game, maybe not so well in the other, but he's a rookie. I do expect him to be better, and hopefully he's going to be better. Then you had Tylik Williams, who is a rookie defensive tackle, played all 17 games, if I'm not mistaken. That's a step in the right direction compared to other defensive tackles they drafted, who either A, got hurt right away, or two, weren't good enough to play and see the field. But is that setting the bar low? Maybe a little bit. Tesla didn't catch many passes. I think, 16 or 19 on the year, but he had 6 touchdowns.
Yep.
I think we could all see there's a bigger role for him at some point in this offense. And other guys, you know, we're going to wait to see. Miles Frazier got a smattering of snaps, and you know, Hassanin is a guy I really want to see, but he got hurt right away.
The success and failure of this past draft class is yet to be determined. But I'm far from giving up on this group. I think there's a lot of promise there.
There is. But I think people want to focus on the negative. They want to look at the Broderick Martins, the Levi Onwuzurikes, the Hendon Hookers of the world. And then see that, yeah, hey, you just threw money at a guy like Kirby Joseph, and now he's hurt, and don't know to what extent his career is going to look like moving forward.
Do you know how many rookies have more touchdown receptions than Isaac Tesla?
There's like one.
Yeah, one. And like you said, foresee a bigger role for him. I don't know. I'm not, you know, it's no point, and there's no victory laps here. It's just I'm not doing any victory laps at all.
I just, again, when we come across as apologists for Brad Holmes, and I just think his body of work is pretty good. Well, and yeah, I think he acknowledges he's got to be better. And this past season is a failure because it didn't make it to the playoffs. It's absolutely a failure.
Their vetting system and what they do to filter down the pool of players that it actually consider taking is something that perhaps is the backbone of what built them to be a contending team in the first place. And so when we talk about, well, maybe you should, you know, bend a little or do this, do that. Can you afford one roster spot for somebody that you don't think totally fits your philosophy? We're not sure that they haven't already done that. Have a couple guys on the team that don't fully fit their philosophical, you know, beliefs on what kind of player they want. But nonetheless, let's get back to your phone calls. Dylan is next here on 97.1. Hi, Dylan.
Hi. So the one thing I wanted to say is I'm happy that Brad's not making a bunch of drastic decisions like the Colts GM did, where he traded their future when they were at the top of the world, and then all of a sudden it comes crashing down, and then they have no future to fall back on.
Yeah, the Colts were, what, they're the first team to go from first place, or...
Are they 8-2 or 8-1?
Yeah, and...
8-1, I believe.
Missed the playoffs, and they traded for Sauce Gardner and gave up the future.
And then Sauce got hurt.
Yep. Yeah, that's... You know, I mean, but sometimes you need to take a risk. They took a risk, and boy, it didn't work out.
And that's the one thing I'm happy Brad hasn't done. He hasn't made a drastic decision yet that's going to alter our future. He's building to sustain the success for multiple years.
I don't know if you're saying Jurassic decision or drastic decision, but I kind of like a Jurassic decision, if that's what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, he's protecting. He doesn't want to do anything that he will feel was irresponsible in the future. But look, that philosophy's fine as long as you get to the mountaintop. If you never get to the mountaintop, it will always be second guessed and should be.
I agree with the caller. He doesn't make any Jurassic decisions.
Right. Did he say Jurassic?
He said Jurassic. It sounded Jurassic.
Yeah.
But anyways, point is, yeah, free agency and midseason trades he doesn't, but at the draft he does. He's actually very aggressive during the draft, whether it's the first round or third and fourth rounds. And so sometimes he swings for the fences, and sometimes he connects and it's a home run, and sometimes it's Javi Baez and it's way off the plate. Like, yeah. The Manu pick, I really think, is a complete miss. Like, that guy should be the next guy up. That Taylor Decker's talking retirement, he should be ready to go, and he don't look like he's ready to go at all.
Well, we don't know because he missed the entire year because he was hurt. That's the problem.
And also because when he played, he wasn't that good, Gator. And I think, personally, in my opinion, I think that's the competition they're talking about next year. He might not make the team.
He may not. But, I mean, this is what I think is one of the big tragedies of the season. Aside, number one is you don't make the playoffs. But number two, to me, is you didn't get a chance to see these guys that you want to see develop. Giovanni Manu played four games in the 2 years he's been on the Detroit Lions. Corby Soristal has played 17 games, and he was a draft pick in 2023. There's 3 seasons where he's only played in 17 games. those are two offensive linemen I think they're looking at to see what can they be. And maybe they're just backups, because and you need backups, clearly. But this team needs starters right now, and they have to make a big move when it comes to I'm going to guess that Taylor Decker is going to retire. I hope he doesn't, because he's really good.
Well,
but if he does, that creates they won't be caught off guard, no. And it's going to create an interesting hole for this team, because I would imagine they would want to the obvious choice would slide Penei Sewell to the left tackle, but then you've got a right tackle problem. But right tackle is an easier position to fill than left tackle.
Let's go to Sean in Detroit. You're next. Hi, Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. I'm sorry, afternoon. Well, morning. Thank you for taking my call.
It is still morning.
Yeah, I'm working. Forgive me, guys. Doug, whenever I hear you get riled up, man, I'm calling. I got panache.
You got panache?
No, all jokes aside, man, you guys are having a great debate. Me personally, man, I agree with some of the things that the previous caller was talking about. We all love that Brad has rebuilt this thing from the ground up, and he's been measured in a lot of his decisions. But I think what you guys and some of the fan base is trying to say, that when you get close, then you got to go all in. And so I think that's where we are. You know, we had we still got a window, I believe, but what are you going to do to assure our fans? And Sheila, as you tried to state in your press conference last night, that we're all in. All in looks like, okay, we don't care about a draft pick this particular year. Okay, we don't care about this amount of money. We just want to go grab this player that's going to take us over the top. And I think that that's where we are getting frustrated, because none of us have seen or felt like he's even close to that.
You know, Sean, at the beginning of the news conference, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show when we played him taking accountability. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
When he talked about all the things that he wants to do differently, well, he didn't say all the things, but they were going to take a long, hard look at everything from top to bottom, and they may need to do some things differently. I don't know that you interpret that as saying it without coming out and saying it, but it made me wonder. And I also thought Dan Campbell, when he met with the media the week prior, said some, or I guess it was Monday. It was Monday. It wasn't the week prior. It was Monday. Said some similar things. I think he left some breadcrumbs that they're going to take a long, hard look at maybe being a little bit more aggressive and not so protective of future draft capital.
Yeah, I think that we all would love to see that. You know, thank you guys again for taking my call.
Oh, no, Doug, man, our pleasure.
Doug, you're the nicest guy on the air, man. When I hear you get mad, I'm calling. Thank you, guys.
I didn't get mad. I just thought that guy took a cheap shot.
Doug's got to get checked.
And you know, maybe not a cheap shot, but I think he was being wildly unfair. So whatever. Rico and Romulus. Hi, Rico.
Hello.
Hey.
I'll say this, and I know let me turn my radio down.
Always a good idea.
I'm like almost 70 years old, and in my entire lifetime, the Lions ain't been worth 2 cents. So whatever Brad Holmes have done, okay, he made a couple of boo-boos here and there, whatever. Didn't do what people wanted him to do. But let's say this. He has taken this football team from 0-16 or 17 to 15-2, 9-3, 9-8, whatever. All I'm saying is this. Give the man a chance and let's see. This season is a wash. Let's see what happens with next season, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your call.
Well, I mean, Rico, I just think it's he's done such a good job to get them where they were, and it's like any aspect of life that any of us have. If you're doing something that's working, you stick with it, you stick with it, you stick with it, and then when something changes, and this year it was the result, it was 9-8 and missing the playoffs. I didn't hear a stubborn Brad Holmes yesterday. That's one of the biggest takeaways from that whole thing. He did not sound stubborn. He sounded to me to be moderately humbled. Now, Gator, you didn't hear it the same way, but I didn't think that was a stubborn GM speaking, and that he was clearly going to stick with what he was doing.
I don't think he's stubborn. I do think that he played a little bit of both sides. At times he would say one thing, and at times he'd say the opposite, but it's okay. Because it's a press conference and it doesn't really matter. He's got my support. I think he's done a really nice job as GM of this team. But you know, the 3 years prior to taking over, the Lions went 6-10, 3-12-1, and 5-11. This was a franchise that was done, and then Stafford comes up and says, "I want out," and they got to move him. And think of the growth that's happened since then, right? That first year, it took a while before they won the first game. They went 3-13-1, but it looked like they were building towards something. Then they go 9-8, 12-5, 15-2, and along the way, win the first two playoff games in 30 years.
248-539-9797. There's a lot that's been accomplished, and there's more work to be done.
It just seems like a lot of people are like, well, what has he done lately? I got it. Okay, they need to improve off of last year, but I give them the chance to improve off of last year because they got to get back to the playoffs. And if they don't, if this becomes a regular occurrence, then he's going to be out of a job.
All right, so there was other news yesterday. The Scooble arbitration offer and ask. These are records on all kinds of sides and things that are unprecedented. We'll get to that today at 12:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Let's go to Chris and McComb here on 97.1. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up?
So I want to touch base a little bit on this. You know, with in regard to Brad and that Nathan from La La Land earlier, he was way, way, way off base. I couldn't disagree with him more. Brad has earned some loyalty from the fan base, and I hope most of our fan base isn't like him. Brad's changed our culture. He's instilled this mindset of, you know, hard work and belief, and that we're not just a bunch of thugs in Detroit. We really want to, put some faith back in the community and strive towards success to start with that. And secondly, I wanted to touch base and just get your guys' opinion overall. You know, like in the past 5 years or so, you know, Puka Nacua goes late round pick. Okay, Max, I think Max Crosby was a pretty late round pick. And then we have guys like Brock Purdy, Mr. Inconsequential, who was like the last pick overall. We have these like diamonds in the rough, right? That late draft picks and, you know, were just home runs for the teams. But And I'm just curious to know, how much does the organization, like the Lions and other NFL organizations, really just keep an eye out on not only their own practice team and practice squads, but other teams' practice squads for those diamonds in the rough that could really step up, make huge changes, and wouldn't affect cap space too much? You know, is that something the Lions could really, you know, improve upon that would help the team as far as going out there and getting that guy that may be taking more of a chance on, and it won't affect our cap space overall so much?
So to be clear, you mentioned at the beginning, you mentioned a bunch of players who were never practice squad guys who you couldn't get Brock Purdy or Puka Nacua off somebody else's practice squad. So I'm not sure the relevance. Yeah,
and you're right. They were never practice squad guys, but I just wanted to use them as guys that went very late. They weren't first, second, third round pick guys. They happened to go late in the draft, just to happen to be home runs. Are there other guys you think that are currently on other practice squads, maybe in the league somewhere, that were late picks that are on practice squads that could be possibly home runs for the Detroit Lions?
I don't think there are home runs on a practice squad.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, if there were, they'd be promoted. And I think there are players you can find off other teams' practice squads that might be upgrades over guys that you have. But as far as home runs are concerned, I don't think you're going to find a home run.
So, I mean they
certainly
not signed,
along the lines of Puka Nacua or Brock Purdy.
They have signed guys off the street that have helped them.
Al-Quadin Muhammad was cut by the Browns, and the Lions signed him to their own practice squad, and he just had 11.5 sacks. Every single GM is trying to do that. What the caller is suggesting. It's very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
And the three guys they put up there, Puka Nacua, Brock Purdy, and Max Crosby, elite players in this league, were all drafted late. Everyone would love to draft those guys. Yeah, those GMs did very well.
Yeah, there's not a Max. There's a high probability, okay? I don't want to say there's not, but there probably isn't a Max Crosby on somebody's practice squad right now that you could get, a Brock Purdy on somebody's practice squad that you could get, or a Puka Nacua, and maybe he shouldn't have brought those up as examples. Do they monitor other teams' practice squads for diamonds in the rough or guys that can help them? Yes. Because the one thing that happens is you get hit by injuries and suddenly you look at your guy that you have on your practice squad and go, I actually like that guy on their practice squad better, and you go get him. And in fact, who was the guy? Was it Hubbard? Wasn't that the dude that played a tackle for them in the season, played every snap in the finale against the Bears?
Yeah, he was a practice squad guy, yeah.
But where did they get him? Was he their own practice squad or were they somebody else's?
I don't remember him seeing him on the practice squad.
I don't either. But again, it's amazing every week. Somebody debuts for the Lions. You're like, you know, who's Jablanovitz, right?
Right. Who's Devin Cochran?
John in a cell. Hi, John.
Hey, how you boys doing today?
We're good.
I just wanted to call in and say, and I guess I'll preface this with, you can't take away the improvements that Brad Holmes has made to the general trajectory of the Lions. But, I mean, you mentioned that this point's been about 20 minutes ago, how, you know, sometimes you hit a home run, sometimes you do a Javi Baez and swing and miss. We're not talking enough about how at the trade deadline this year, he just stood at the plate and didn't swing at anything.
Dude, if you're saying that's not getting enough talk, you haven't been listening to this radio station, because that gets a ton of talk.
I've only had it on today for the last hour, but I listen just about every day.
Okay, because that gets a ton of talk.
But when it comes to where we should be as a fan base against Brad Holmes, or with Brad Holmes, he isn't immediately like, we should get rid of him. But it really, it's almost getting close to a hot seat type moment.
Well, John, is he swinging? Did he swing and miss at the trade deadline, or did he get up to the plate and there was no pitcher throwing a pitch?
I mean, I got to believe you got to find some. There's got to be somebody pitching something, because we can't find an offensive lineman to help anywhere.
There was one offensive lineman traded. There was one traded during the days leading up to the trade deadline.
What was the line about starting tackles that Burchie looked up, that there had been seven tackles moved at the trade deadline since the turn of the century?
I do agree that offensive lineman is much, much more difficult move. But also, we have a very beat-up defense. A defense that needed some bolstering. We needed some help. We needed to add some people on. And a lack of any movement, I find that disheartening.
Well, look, just to be clear, It would have been great to go get a starting caliber offensive lineman without question. And John, the only point in bringing up that there were only seven starting offensive linemen moved at the trade deadline since 2000 isn't to say he shouldn't have tried. He did say, and his quote yesterday was, "You would be surprised at the calls that I made to try and bolster the offensive line." He was basically saying it was a goal of his, and he worked very hard on trying to come up with offensive line acquisitions.
It was a seller's market, and they weren't selling, is what it comes down to. That's what it tells me, is that the guys, teams were not willing to part with offensive linemen based on one guy getting traded, and that player was a marginal player.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like those players are available, because the price, if they were to trade them, then the price would have to be too high. Like, oh, you want my starting left tackle or you want my starting guard? Great. Here's what it's going to cost you. And they're like, well, I can't give you a second round pick for a guy that grades out as an average center in this league.
I feel like if I'm going to come down on some and be very critical of somebody, I better know all the facts. The problem with criticism of trades is, God, I'd love to know all the facts. I'd love to know all the facts. I'd love to know what he had cooking. I'd love to know the calls he made, the offers he made. I would love to know what team said no to. I would love to know what he said no
to. Sure.
All that, I'd be much more comfortable with saying he flat out blew it and he should have been more aggressive. And damn it, I want to know those things.
Here's one area where I think he put his trust in something and it failed, and I don't know if it's his fault or not, and that was with Kirby Joseph. When it came to the trade deadline, and I think they thought he was really close to returning, and then there was a setback, and the setback, unfortunately, put him on IR.
Mike in South Lyon, you're next. Hi, Mike.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, here's my worry. And I'm not saying that this is the case. I just kind of want to get your take on it. But what if it's possible that the reason Brad Holmes had success early on is because he picks the best player available? Well, when the team is garbage, everything is going to work. But now that we need to plug holes, his insistence on not picking for need but picking what's available isn't going to get us to the Super Bowl.
So, Mike, this is something I've brought up all the time. Going from terrible to average is relatively easy. Going from average to good is tough. Going from good to great is even tougher, because your needs are fewer. To get to great, you have to have very specific needs. You got a roster that's, I would assume, full of players that you want to keep. So you might need that left guard or that corner or that middle linebacker, and they might not be available to you on the draft, and they might not be available on the trade market. And so you're right. When it comes to taking this next step, he's at the toughest level. He's at the and that doesn't mean the expectation shouldn't be to do it. He didn't do it this year, but it's definitely the toughest part of the trying to build a contending team, trying to build a Super Bowl champion.
Because he's got to change his strategy. You know, he was humble in the beginning yesterday, but he did sound a little stubborn after, because when asked about being more aggressive and another edge rusher, he's like, what do you mean, define aggressive to Wojo? And then when they asked him about extending contracts versus free agency, he's like, well, we got a lot of contracts to extend, right? And then he's like, we're not going to change our strategy on the offensive line. You know, even before they said, oh, we're all set. So
he didn't say it. The we're all set line came from Dan Campbell. We're good is what he said. But he did say, and he did emphasize, taking care of the offensive line is a priority. He did emphasize that. 248-539-9797. More your phone calls and feedback. And what's going on with the Tigers and Scoobal? And is this a bit of a tipping point? We'll get to that at 12:05 on 97.1.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. What's going on with the Tigers and Scooble in this arbitration deal? We'll get to that today at 12:05. In the meantime, feedback coming in. Maybe if Brad had one of those third round picks he gave up for Tesla, he would have more ammo for the trade. That's from Brian in Grand Blanc. He was asked about that yesterday. He said, yeah, you know what you're doing when you give up those third round picks, and you have to be comfortable with it. And he was comfortable with it. And Tesla is interesting because there's, you know, he's made some swings and misses with what he's done in the third round. With trades and moving around, and he's got Broderick Martin on that resume. He's got Hendon Hooker on that resume. Now he's made a trade. And yeah, if you don't have Isaac Tesla, I mean, if you don't make the playoffs anyway, then what difference did he really make? We'll know long term. I mean, if Tesla goes on to have a great career, then giving up third round picks is worth it.
Yeah, you have to be at peace when you make those deals. Otherwise, don't make those deals, right? Yeah. But that's where I find it weird. Like, Holmes is aggressive in the draft. It's not like, it's just, he's not aggressive at the trade deadline and free agency. I go back to, the Tesla might work out, okay? The Manu might not. Those are two aggressive moves where a lot of people felt like you didn't have to do what you did to get those guys, but they felt very, they had conviction in those players.
Everything's done with intention.
Yes,
right?
And so they don't have those same, conviction, I guess, with guys to trade at the trade deadline.
Well, if you think about his background, though, he was director of college scouting with the Rams. Like, this is his bread and butter, is going after people in the draft. And so, if he were the director of pro personnel, which is a guy who looks at other teams' rosters and tries to take them off, go steal guys off other teams' rosters, he might have a totally different approach. But let's go to Landon. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Landon.
How you doing?
Okay.
I just had a question. I was wondering what y'all think about Montgomery. I think he's going to stay next year.
Don't know. That was kind of left open-ended yesterday. I hope they keep him personally.
I don't think they will. I think if it ends up saving him money, that's the route they're going to go because they have other needs. And I like David Montgomery a lot. I think he adds to this offense, but running backs can be a dime a dozen in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your running back one. You need to find a running mate. They can find one in the draft. They can find one in free agency for cheaper, or maybe they'll just give somebody more carries in house. I don't think he's coming back.
You want him back, Landon?
No, I think we got Gibbs. I don't think we need him.
So, you know, it's, yes, they do have Gibbs. Most backfields have two guys they can rely on. I'm not sure if they don't have David Montgomery that they've got that. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go get somebody. You might be able to get someone cheaper. I think the cap number on Montgomery is relatively high. So, yeah, next year he's 8.37, which is about what it was this year. But his dead cap number, okay, so to move on from him, last year would have cost him $12.729 million. This year cost him $4.862. So you'd save $4 million. If you trade him, the base salary is 5.4. That's what a team trading for him would give. I don't think you'll get much, but what you get is cap space to maybe address something you need more.
Judging by how Holmes addressed that question yesterday, guys, it doesn't sound like David Montgomery's coming back, but I really think they should think about bringing him back. But it sounds like this might be a Montgomery issue where he's, you know, he's not happy with his role. Mm-hmm. I would say, not to be rude, but too bad, because we need you. You know, we should use you more than what we did maybe, but he's not. It's not going to be a 50-50 split. We know this. Gibbs is just too good to take off the field. And I think it's important to have the backup. And I do think he plays a real role on this team, even when Gibbs is healthy. I think he's that good. Like, and they knew this, by the way. They extended him when they didn't even have to. He could be done right now. His original contract would be over, and he could move on, and they wouldn't have any dead cap. But they gave him a 2-year extension, so they knew this was a possibility. So they gave him the extension thinking they were going to use him with Gibbs, because they knew Gibbs was going to be good too.
I think he's a casualty of the offensive line not being as good as it was. If the offensive line is as good as it was or close to it, not hard to be that way when you lose, you know, all pro Frank Ragnow. But if there were a better offensive line, they wouldn't have as many three and outs. They'd have extended more drives, and he'd get more carries, and he'd have, you know, more weight to throw around there, because he would have more stats and he'd have more touchdowns. But that wasn't the case this year.
248-539-9797. I'm tired of the Holmes bashing. Do people forget how bad this team was before he got here? He built this team to be relevant and raised expectations. Was this season good enough? No. This is a huge offseason. Let's see how he responds. That's from Pat in Canton. From Mike in Birmingham. The results do speak for themselves. 9-8, missed the playoffs. You can cherry pick the stats you want, but pass rush is a top need for this team. Well, Mike, I guess we just have a disagreement. I think interior of the offensive line is a top need. I think safety is a top need. I think defensive tackle is a top need. I would love to bring back Elkhoudy Muhammad. I would love to bring him
back.
I'd
love that.
If they don't, then yes, they need an edge, because it's not going to, if the answer's not Davenport. They tried that, didn't work.
No. Oh, no.
That's a fail. But the, and it's probably a bit of a stretch to think the answer is Hassanin. So, yes, it could become a top need for them, Mike. But as it stands right now, if they don't get a veteran interior offensive lineman, specifically a center, I'll be really worried. If they don't, that probably means they have faith in Ratledge manning that position. Unnamed texter, why are you guys so quick to defend this guy? Last season, he was the villain mindset, all high in his own supply. He had receipts for us fans, and it was tacky. Where are those receipts now, Brad? Well, first of all, I defend him against what I think is unfair criticism. I think somebody is unfair to him. I don't care about all that receipt stuff. I didn't like it either, but I'm not, it doesn't gonna, it's not gonna, just because I don't like something he did, that shouldn't impact the job that I think he's done as the general manager. Right? I mean, okay, so he did something tacky during a press conference. And I said at the time, I do not like this. However, it doesn't, and nor should it, in my opinion, change the job that I think he did as a general manager.
Yeah, and was he humbled a bit yesterday?
Sounded like it.
I think maybe he was humbled a little bit yesterday. But you're not throwing him out because he was humbled or because you thought it was a tacky press conference a year ago. And I'm not going to disagree with that when he's, you know, cashing in receipts a year ago. I didn't like that either. But he's got a job to do. Let him do his job. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do it well enough this offseason, this is a pretty important offseason. The expectations are extraordinarily high. And he's got to go out there and get this team back in the playoffs as best as he can. And if he's not getting the job done, then he'll find his way to another job.
248-539-9797.
But he's not on the fast track to that.
Brad Holmes is aggressive in the wrong area. He only gives up day two picks on projects. Instead of then from an unnamed texter, instead of trading picks to move in the draft, trade them for established players like Ryan Poles did. I have no problem with that. In fact, if you're sitting there in the first round and somebody wants to give you, somebody wants to give you a high quality center for your first round pick, great. But I don't know how many teams are looking to give up their high quality center.
Right.
People acting like they were so far off or out of touch. Having Kirby down the stretch would have added two wins, which could have been the division. Well, yeah. I mean, there is this variable that hovers over this team that we haven't even brought up, and that is injuries. And I like that they're going to take a long, hard look at everything, including why so many guys get hurt, and Campbell, you know, seem to want to, that's something that they want to address. Football, man, in football, as you like to say, it's a violent sport. Stuff happens.
That's exactly what it is.
Nick in Farmington Hills. Scott and Doug, I do think Brad is on the hot seat. He got nothing in the offseason last year to make this team better or at the trade deadline. As I see it now, the Lions deserve an empty Ford Field if they do nothing in free agency or trading. Well, I mean, Nick, this goes back to if they don't do it your way, they deserve an empty Ford Field. They deserve an empty Ford Field if they start to suck again. This team went from great to average, record-wise. Could I see them getting back to great with some moves in the offseason? Yeah. I mean, what you are saying is if they do nothing in free agents or trading-wise, they're going to do something.
Well, if we want to look at this team and say how bad they were this year because they didn't make the playoffs, and I'm not happy they didn't make the playoffs. I don't think it's a bad football team. Can you improve on this football team that you might, not you, but the listener might think is bad? Is it easy to improve this team? I think there are easy routes to improve this team. You find some offensive linemen that are better than what you have, and I think that improves this team. You find some people that can stay healthy in the secondary, and you're going to find yourself in a better position for sure.
248-539-9797. Gentlemen, after listening to Brad Holmes yesterday, obviously it's clear as daylight he is going to move on from David Montgomery, which I think is a huge mistake because Gibbs will be overused even more. And if he goes down, who do you turn to? An unproven fifth-round rookie? I know we need to clear cap space, but there's other ways to do it. That's from Marlon. Look, I find that, you know, I'm not married to Montgomery, but you better have a good plan B. So if their plan B sucks and Jahmyr Gibbs gets overused, like fatigue and wear and tear are a real thing in this league. And yeah, I don't want Jahmyr Gibbs to be a workhorse back. I want him to be splitting carries with somebody competent. And if it's not going to be Montgomery, it better be somebody competent. Now, you don't have to shoot for the moon. You don't have to use a first-round pick on a running back.
No, you don't.
That would be a Jurassic decision.
That is a without question, that is that.
Anyway.
But you can find running backs throughout the draft.
You can find running backs throughout the draft.
There's a couple from Penn State that are pretty good.
And there's running backs. You know who looks good running behind a great offensive line is? A lot of running backs are going to look great.
Exactly.
Great offensive line.
That's the part that has to be fixed.
100%.
That's the part they have to know. What are they working with here? Is Taylor Decker coming back or not?
Yep. 248-539-9797. Open lines. We want to continue with the Lions discussion. Gator, yesterday the announcements came out regarding arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Tigers offered a record amount to an arbitration-eligible starting pitcher, and that starting pitcher asked for a record more than what the Tigers offered. So I think there's a bunch of implied messages in the offer and the ask, and we'll get to that today at 12:05, because I wonder if this is about to get uncomfortable. Plus, congratulations to Patrick Kane, 500 goals, but it was an empty netter.
So?
Well, there you go. Some people say so. Some people go, eh.
Oh, you turn down an empty net goal? Is that what you're supposed to do?
Well, you can take it up with the people that go, eh. Uh-huh. We'll get to that at 12:30 on 97.1.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.